All right, hour number two. It is Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Built Ford Tough Studio, 888-808-1019 is the number. Boomer and Geo will be back next Monday after a week off. And turn our attention to baseball just a little bit. You know, it's interesting. We were sitting here during a commercial break, and, you know, the YES Network is on, and there was a commercial, and it had shown highlights of, you know, it might have been 96. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. But it was one of the World Series champion teams, and they had the video on the screen, and it was Mariano, and you saw Bernie Williams, you know, Derek Jeter. And the first thing Al says is, my God, they look so – you realize how long now that's been?
Yeah, they look like kids. I saw Andy Pettit.
Yes, who looked like – a 23-year-old kid, and he probably was at the time.
What's weird is that the 1980s seem very far in the past, but the 1990s does not.
I agree.
Even though it's only a couple of years.
Right, so we talk about, like, I always think, and maybe because, and see, I can't even say that, because you've got a lot of bands that still play into their 70s and 80s and are around. I was going to say, it seems like bands like the Foo Fighters are still very relevant. When they hit it in the mid-90s, I guess that was, for the Foo Fighters. And now they're still selling out stadiums in 2025. So to think about when they began to where they are now, they don't seem that different. So maybe that's part of it. But I do agree with you. The 80s seems like a much different beast than the 90s.
Yeah. And it's how long the 90s are?
Well, 1990 is 35 years ago.
And the 80s are 40-something years away. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like a world of difference between those two decades, but the 1990s doesn't seem that far apart from here.
I agree. And a world of difference between the two teams. The Mets owned the city in the mid-80s, mid to late 80s, whereas the Yankees then took over the city mid-90s and then really have owned it kind of since. I mean, the Mets have had a couple of seasons, obviously. They went to the World Series in 2015. They were good in the early 2000s. But the Yankees were in the World Series almost every year, it felt like. And ever since, they may not win every year, but God, they're in the playoffs every single season. So that leads me to tonight. So you've got, and I guess, too, what the week ahead signifies. Now, for some, the week leading into the All-Star break can be like a, you know, almost like a nice reset if you're a struggling team. The Yankees have been struggling, and they've been struggling miserably, whereas the Mets were. While I know you don't watch every pitch of every game, but you do consider yourself a Met fan, do you at least feel, let's take the road stuff out of the equation for just a second. Do you at least feel, by winning the two series against two very good teams, Brewers are a very good team, and though the Yankees are struggling, still a very good team, and the Subway Series, is there a sense in you that they've kind of righted the ship going into the series against Baltimore?
Yes. Yeah, I feel like beating the Yankees 2 out of 3,
yeah,
even though they lost the last game of that series. No, I feel like they're back in the mix here. That if they can win the series against Baltimore, I'm not looking for a sweep.
Right, take 2 out of 3.
Take 2 out of 3, and then there's another one before the All-Star break.
There is.
And do the same in that one. All good when we hit the All-Star break and when they get back.
Now, the Yankees have, and so the Yankees are interesting from the standpoint of they get the win on Sunday. They feel a little bit better about themselves. They get the day off. Now in comes the Seattle Mariners, who, you know, we talked about Cal Raleigh, and they're a good team. They're not a great team. Take care of business tonight, because if you do that heading into a series against, I think it's the Cubs over the weekend, I'm pretty sure, right before the break, they have an opportunity to wipe a lot of the stink off their, you know, off their jerseys, basically, and go into an All-Star break. And that's to where I think for this team, the reset is very real, meaning, let's say they went 4. I'm not looking for sweeps. Go 4-2 in the next 6. Win this series, win the next. Go into the All-Star break. You go in an up note. If you take 4 out of 6 this week, plus the game on Sunday, you can at least have a sense like, you know what? Every team goes through it. They went through it. They're out of it. And then you come out firing after the All-Star break. The notion that, and this has been a talking point now in a lot of different places, the idea that the Yankees would be looking to trade players as opposed to acquire players or do anything, you know, in terms of turning the page on the season, to me is foolish from the standpoint of you've got guys on this team like Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm Jr., Aaron Judge. You've got arguably the best starting pitcher in baseball in Max Fried. Like, those names right there alone should be enough to make you think that you are a postseason team that can challenge for a World Series. The idea that people are now saying that this team should, like, regroup, and start over to me is, and I don't know who you're trading and what you're getting back.
Who's saying that?
I know
C-Mac in the overnight?
I don't know what C-Mac said. I'm not sure. But I know, I believe Brandon, I think, has that notion.
What?
I think there have been callers to this radio station.
Well, we're always going to get crazy
calls. Well, but those are Yankee fans. I mean, there are some Yankee fans that want to tear it down. And to me, it's just silly when I look at the talent that this team had. You know, it was only 3 weeks ago, this team had a 6-game lead atop the AL East. That wasn't fake. April and May wasn't fake. It did happen. So that's why this week will tell a lot to me about what this team is.
They need one of those fun, like when a guy comes in, like a Ric Flair comes into the locker room and gives you like a pep talk. They need one of those, Jerry. Just to get him into the All-Star.
Wouldn't you think that's...
Get the Hulkster in here or something.
Wouldn't you think that's Chisholm?
The Rizzler. Somebody. Chisholm?
Yeah.
That he should be the rally guy.
I'm not saying he should. He, to me, seems to have that type of flair, for lack of a better word, to be the one to rally up the troop. Like, Aaron Judge, as great as he is, doesn't seem like the type that's going to get in anybody's face and kind of, hey, everybody, gather around me. I got something to say. I don't know enough about Bellinger or Goldschmidt. They're at least veterans. I guess they could. I mean, is DJ LeMahieu going to rile up the troops?
No.
Trent Grisham?
No.
Jason Dominguez? Right. So this is, now the guy that it could have been, but he's out, would be a Garrett Cole, I would think. But even he seems more like the soft-spoken type.
He's got
person.
A weird voice for that. You need a commanding voice.
How about this one? Stanton.
Stanton. Mm-hmm. He also seems like a guy who doesn't talk much. There's a lot of guys in the Yankees that don't look like fun. You're right. Jazz Chisholm's the only guy.
I think he would be the guy.
Who's like a fun guy. What about that kind of submariner sidearm guy?
Tim Hill?
Like, yeah.
I don't think Tim Hill is going to go in and call. Well, I know the Mets had the team meeting. I believe the Yankees had one as well in Toronto, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
It's just a bunch of people standing around, no one talking.
It's a silent party.
We got to win some games here.
Hey, it worked bad. You know what they need? A David Wells type.
Yes.
That's what they need.
You got to get hammered, go out there on the mound.
And throw a no-hitter.
Yeah, and
for
let's
a perfect
go.
Game.
Yeah.
That would get them going.
It is weird that the Yankees really don't have any real personality players except for Jazz Chisholm, and he's new, so he's not like...
Why? Well, when you say personality, do we mean a prankster, or do we mean like a gritty...
Just like a fun guy. Like, there's no one on the Yankees who seems like a fun guy to hang out with. Other than Jazz Chisholm. Everybody else seems kind of boring.
How about Trent Grisham?
Yeah, it's not, I don't know.
That doesn't do it for you either. We know Devin Williams doesn't because you don't like his body language.
Bad body language.
I'll give you one. Austin Wells. I think Austin Wells would be fun.
I get him and Trent Grisham confused when they're at bat because they both have that helmet on with sunglasses and a mustache. And I'm like, which guy is this? Which guy is at bat here?
You know what helps? Following the batting order.
What about Cody Bellinger? Is he like a fun guy?
Well, Cody Bellinger was, is he a fun guy?
Is he the guy who stole Giancarlo Stanton's girlfriend?
I believe he's married to her now.
Oh, damn.
I believe he is married to Stanton's ex-girlfriend. Correct.
Stanton.
And that's where the caller called up we were talking about last week that said that's where the Yankee troubles began when Stanton was called up. It's an interesting theory. I don't necessarily believe it, though.
Hmm.
But even still, Anthony and Belleville, what's up, Ant?
Alan, Jerry, oh yeah.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, how about Ben Royce? I mean, for a young guy, he can spark that team a little bit. He's playing well.
I do. Ben Rice smiles a lot. He's a young kid. I like Ben Rice. That's I don't know that he's going to lead them, but I do like your thought.
Ben Rice cannot be your leader.
What?
Ben Rice? All right.
This is coming from a guy who can throw a strike to playing softball.
They need a guy like Tommy Lugauer. That's a leader. He leads Knicks fans.
How about Ant from Belleville? How about Ant from Belleville for the Yankees? Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure
we don't want no Mets fans.
I'm not sure if we're feeling an Ant from Belleville to lead the Yankees.
Hey, you guys talking about the time zone there.
Yeah.
What year is that shirt from, Al? That looks like a 86 World Series or maybe a Kingman.
Really? Because it's got a 7-line logo on it. They brought back a kind of like a throwback
vintage shirt,
but it's recently from the 7-line.
It's a good-looking shirt. The only one around here, I would say, I don't know Rami enough. Eddie obviously has T-shirts from the 90s still in his rotation.
Yeah.
I have T-shirts that will go back, I do, about 10 years. I get the sense you're the type that after a couple of years, you get new.
No, it's actually, I just thought of this recently because every day I go on my Google Photos, look at Google photo memories. You'd be like, this was 15 years ago. I'm literally in the same shirt.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that surprises me.
I have a ton of shirts. Well, back then, they made high-quality T-shirts. Nowadays, you get a T-shirt, and like a year and a half later, it stinks, and you got to get rid of it.
You ever go down to Orlando with your family? Do you ever go into the souvenir shops?
Yes.
8 T-shirts, $10. Yeah. What are they, disposable?
Yeah, they're like really like, it's called disposable fashion.
I mean, my God.
There's stores like that in the mall, too, where you go in the mall and then like you wear something, you wash it, it stinks, and then we send it to a foreign country and they throw it in their ocean. And then like the whole
system sucks.
System stinks.
Yes. By the way, there's really no malls anymore.
Oh.
Those malls are almost, there are a few, but there's a pretty much a thing of the past. Dan in West Orange. What's up, Dan?
What's up, boys?
How are we doing?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, pretty good.
So I'm listening. I have two things I want to say. First of all, you're going to enjoy Montana. All right? You're going to love it. I was just there. Be careful with Glacier National Park. It gets really busy, Alan. I know you.
Hold on. Let me just, because everyone's recommending I go there. It's 4.5 hours away from where I'm staying.
Must be really nice.
You're staying in Missoula.
No.
Where are you staying?
Bozeman.
Okay. It's a really cool place. It's a really cool place. I was there. You're going to love it. But the other reason why I was calling is that you were talking about like slump busters and all that stuff. And I'm a huge Mets fan, diehard, season ticket holder. And they need somebody to come in. I'm going to send a slump buster over to you guys. I have so many. I'm like, send
people. Yeah, right. Well, it was a good thought for a moment, but gotcha.
That's stupid.
Okay. Well, I mean, these are the...
He wants the Kool-Aid man, like the actual Kool-Aid man.
Why is that any dumber than Grimace? I'm just curious.
Like, if you're saying that instead of that one season last year when the Mets had Grimace, if the Kool-Aid man threw out the first pitch,
yes.
And then we were like, oh my God, the Kool-Aid man is around.
Is that such a ridiculous thought?
It's the same. It is the same.
I mean, we had a girl out on the mound that got famous for saying something...
Hawk Tua.
Right.
Yeah.
We used her as the reason why they did well.
Yeah, we had a lot of different things last year.
We used an OMG sign. Now, I do agree. Now, if you want to talk about any of those things that might have actually had an impact, the Grimace thing to me is stupid. The Hawk Tua girl is stupid. The Pride Mets, gay Mets thing is stupid. What makes sense to me is the OMG thing because of the energy that was brought to that team.
You know, I got to tell you, I've had two people... this past week, send me Mets songs.
Okay. Any good?
That they want to be rallying songs.
All right.
I mean...
Are they good or not?
They don't feel authentic to me. Like, they don't feel like... It feels forced. Like, I want to try to get a song to catch on. Here's my Mets song.
Mm.
Problem is, both of them finished their Mets songs when the Mets had lost, like... 8 games in a row, wherever it was. So yeah. It wasn't. I don't know. When you're putting together a Mets song to become a Mets song, it doesn't work to
me.
You
want it to be more organic.
Yeah, it needs to be more organic.
Like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Gay Mets.
Yeah, like
the Hawk Tua.
Yeah, very organic those were.
I suppose they were. But in terms of a real lasting, and it started with the Rally Pimp.
Rally Pimp,
He was the first one that people kind of rallied around.
Correct.
But it again, to me, the OMG thing, because that resonated in the locker room.
I remember when the Rally Pimp was the first thing, and then there was like a local writer who was like, do we want pimp imagery for the children?
And then they bring out Hawk Tua Girl.
Yeah,
right. And I think, I could be wrong, I think it was on Camp Day, too.
Children's Camp Day? Yes. Well, kids love Hawk Tua Girl.
I'm pretty sure it was a day game, and it was Camp Day.
It was
like,
camp
it's
day.
One thing if you're going to... So I know that guy took a lot of heat, the marketing guy, took a lot of heat for that, and I understand. Makes sense, especially when you figure out the whole camp thing in a day game. Had she done that on a Wednesday night, and it wasn't Camp Day, maybe it would have been a little different.
Like if she did it on Sexy Met Night. Where
whatever.
They were going to do all Sexy Mets things.
You know what? They've got themes for everything. Why not have a Sexy Met Night?
Sexy Met Night? Adults Only Mets Night?
That would work too, I suppose. That's why Kool-Aid Man, not such a bad idea. They need something.
Well, I feel like the Mets don't need anything right now. The Mets took 2 or 3 from the Yankees. They play these terrible Orioles. As long as both of these teams in these next two series win their next two series, we take a break.
All is right.
For the All-Star game. We don't need any gimmicks.
I happen to agree with you.
Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, here comes the Kool-Aid man, Jerry.
Where's the rubber band man? We want him next. All right, 7:19. Take a break. We got CeeLo in again. Coming up later in the hour, we've had a couple of calls about it. We are going to discuss Al's upcoming trip, which is next week, his trip to Montana. Also, the Mike Brown introduction today with the Knicks. And also, at some point, I would like to discuss with you the Ozzy Osbourne finale from the other night, which was really cool, interesting, and bizarre all at the same time. So all of that and more coming up. It's Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
All right, we can lift you up. Yep, it's 7:25. It is Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built Ford Tough Studio, Fan, CBS Sports Network. What's the matter?
Sorry, I'm just laughing. You're like, oh, we can lift you up, and I'm thinking about what you just asked her.
Well, we were watching the YES Network had a whole thing on the 96 Yankees. And, we were looking back. That's all.
It was a while ago now.
It was, I was 22. Mm-hmm. Night 96. Yeah, I was 22 years old watching that. Pretty and
coming up on 30 years.
And to think all those guys are still
alive,
running around. Well, yeah. Oh. I'm talking like, you know, Bernie and Jeets and Mariano. We still see them in the area.
Paulie, yeah.
And Paul O'Neill. We see him every night. Sure. Absolutely.
Well, they took every one of those guys. They put them on the YES Network Yankee broadcast. They all do games with Michael Kay.
Well, O'Neill for sure.
Yeah.
The rest of them,
not so much.
No. That's not really Cone. True.
Yeah, but we didn't just mention Cone.
Oh.
I mean, he was there, but we didn't mention him.
We didn't.
No.
But Jeter never, aside from the Fox stuff, right, he never did any. He never got involved with anything with the Yankees, like broadcast. No, just straight to Fox.
Yeah.
I believe in
they
that.
They might have had him in the booth once or twice if he was there for whatever reason.
But has never worked for them, I don't believe.
No.
So. That is the voice of Chris Lopresti, who's got like so much stuff. Oh, we don't have enough time to get to it, so I don't want to take any more of your time.
Unbelievable.
Take
really
it away.
Need two segments today. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nobody beating the Blue Jays recently. Extended their winning streak to 9 last night, an 8-4 win over the White Sox. So that winning streak began just before the Yankees got to town last week and continued, obviously, with their 4-game sweep of the Bombers. In the midst of that, and I know this has been news for a couple days now, but I want to get to the back and forth audio a little bit. Michael Kay went on his radio show and said that the Blue Jays are not a first place team. Look at their run differential. They should be a 500 team. And look at the Yankees run differential. They should have 4 or 5 more wins. So after Toronto finished off the sweep, Blue Jays TV, Sportsnet, specifically this Jamie Campbell, had some fun at Kay's expense on their postgame show.
We have been asked about the broom relentlessly these last couple of days, so here it is, because we just witnessed something that has not been done in the history of the Blue Jays, sweeping all 4 from the Yankees here in Toronto. First time. And I can think of a certain Yankee broadcaster, in fact, who is going to have to go on his show tomorrow and admit that the Blue Jays are a first-place team, because the standings prove it.
All right, so it's a little dig at Kay, but it's factual.
It's all fun.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm sure it's happened. I've seen the broom come out for postseason series.
Yeah.
Not a broom for a regular season series is weird. And from a broadcaster,
correct. Yes.
It's even more weird.
And that's kind of where this all goes.
Imagine Gary Cohen taking a broom out after the Mets sweep the Orioles this week.
Or maybe if they swept the Yankees. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. So Kay then used his Yankees batting practice show Sunday chat with Nancy Newman on YES to respond ahead of Yankees Mets in the series finale.
It's interesting. So what I would say to Jamie is I can easily say the Blue Jays are a first place team because I'm not a fawning fanboy. I'm a broadcaster. And the bottom line is they are, in fact, a first place team.
All right. So that's dig number one.
Fanboy.
And then he quickly defended himself, saying the narrative had been changed by people who didn't hear the full context of his comments. And this first part, we'll see if Al's head explodes here with what he references in the first part of this clip.
I was talking about the Pythagorean theorem of run differential, which would indicate that the Blue Jays should not have a record as good as they have. In fact, I was complimenting the Blue Jays that they've exceeded the expectations that the numbers would put on them.
And now here's where, at least to me, it felt like the gloves come off a little bit, and he takes a bit of a shot back at Campbell, though it's sort of a little bit of what Jerry referenced just a minute ago.
Imagine, Nancy, imagine if Jack Curry was waving a broom on the Yankee postgame. He would probably be called into the office and shortly fired after that.
And then he says how great Toronto, the city is. It's one of his favorite stops on Yankee road trips. But let's, you know, let's be a little bit more professional here.
You're waving a broom on a postgame show. You're turning it into Mayberry RFD. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. You should be proud of the fact you're in first place. And one final thing. You shouldn't hang on the rim 3 minutes into the third quarter of a basketball game. Feel good about sweeping the Yankees. Feel good about winning all these games in a row. Feel good about being in first place. But to hang on the rim this early, let's hang on the rim in October. That's when you hang on the rim.
And that might be the best point.
Fair point, for sure.
It is still June, July that we're doing this.
And for that particular organization, I looked it up. They've won two playoff series, and they were both in the divisional round since they won the World Series in 1993.
That's a long, long time.
Didn't Michael Kay also put a Diet Coke in the trash on day one against Mike Francesa?
That's correct. Yeah.
Same.
Because I wanted money.
Exactly.
Now, it's interesting. They trade these on-air jabs back and forth. Yeah. Some of it playful. You know, Kay referencing Jack Curry probably be fired. I thought that was, you know, maybe a little bit more intense. And then they go on Twitter X and they play nice Sunday. Jamie Campbell says,
because they're probably friendly,
I guess. But like, Kay sounded pretty fired up there, no?
Yeah. Well, you know why? My guess would be he's probably taking a beating online, too.
Wow.
Maybe it's like when you, like, one player got hit. Then Michael Kay retaliated, hit their player, and now it's over.
Now we're, yeah.
Maybe. And I don't think, just my opinion, I think the talk show stuff back and forth is different than play-by-play announcers.
Yes.
Play-by-play
yes.
announcers are supposed to just call the game. Now, it's weird because he does both, so the lines might get a little blurred. But I actually think that's fun banter back and forth. And you love nothing more than a good radio war.
Oh, I love a radio war, yeah.
So it's more, a little different to me.
Regional sports network war.
Yes, exactly.
So Campbell said, I should point out that I've always had great respect for Mr. K. That's a tough market.
So is he a young guy?
And no, I don't think he's super young. No.
Okay, I just wondering.
It's just the way he's trying to be respectful.
Maybe he's taking another shot at Michael Kay for being old.
Maybe. That's a tough market. He's endured. We haven't been able to say first place around here for a while, just having a little fun. And then Kay went back with the, hey, you're all class. Hopefully we can, you know, chat next in the next couple
Context
of
matters.
So there you go. Anyway, the Jays are up 3.5 games now on the Yanks atop the AL East. You got the Yankees and the Mariners beginning a series tonight in the Bronx. Will Warren and Logan Gilbert, the starters, with 6:25 pregame coverage on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. I mentioned last hour, Seattle comes in having put together three consecutive shutouts for the first time in franchise history. By the way, so many iconic home run calls from John Sterling over the years, right? You know, the different nicknames.
Of course.
Fun. I'm sure you guys will recall this one from a few years back.
1-0, hit of the air to deep center. Back goes Wilkinson on the track. At the wall, she's gone! Austin Roman homers for the second night in a row over the center field wall. Romy! My homie.
All right, so Romine, who last played for the Yanks in 2019 and the big leagues in 2022 for the Reds. So it's been a few years now.
Yeah.
So let's take a listen to Red Sox radio last night from their home win over the now 21-70 Colorado Rockies.
2-2, driven high and deep in the left center field. Forget about it! Romy on the Lansdowne. That is a big boy home run. Romy! My homie is fourth homer, makes it 9-3 Red Sox.
It's Romy Gonzalez going deep for the Red Sox. So I don't know if that was like an ode to John Sterling.
Or maybe just Romy, my homie, is in his head. Who knows?
Not really understanding that that's already
been used. And in fairness, while we knew the Austin Romine call here, Austin Romine wasn't at 50 home runs a year to where it got played over and over and over again.
Romy Gonzalez has like 15 career home runs.
No, 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 28. No. I'm saying in terms of stealing it from John.
I got it.
I don't know how many people out of this market know that one.
Fair enough. Call that parallel writing in the business.
In the
business. Two people writing the same joke or line at the same time.
I could see that.
How about that?
Although this isn't the same time. This is years past.
And nothing else rhymes with Romy.
Why do we have to rhyme?
It's fun.
Is it?
Could be.
Okay.
Romy, my homie.
Domi, no. Yeah, probably. Well, there's one that starts with a B, but we'll move on from that one. Go ahead.
That Romy that rhymes with a B?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. Romy. Yeah, it would be two words, Al.
But make it sound like one.
You can think that over, all right? Phillies
Just add a BL to the sound. Come on, Al.
Oh, okay.
Would you? Hey, would you?
Got it.
Yeah, okay. Glad we were able to spell that out for you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Literally. Phillies beat the loss to the Giants, I should say, in San Francisco 3-1. So the Mets are back within a game of Philadelphia atop the division. You got Mets and Orioles tonight, Camden Yards, Clay Holmes, and 26-year-old rookie Brandon Young, who carries an ERA north of 7 for a 6.35 first pitch on Mets Odyssey Radio. I wanted to get to this yesterday, never did, just because it kind of didn't matter. This is more to just have some fun with Al. So the NBA moratorium was lifted, right? Mm-hmm. So they put the bow and the finishing touches on the Kevin Durant trade.
Oh, the 7-team deal.
Yeah, I mean,
you're gonna give out the details.
The details just to have some fun. You know, it's boring, obviously. All told, the deal involved the Rockets, the Hawks, the Nets, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Timberwolves, and the Suns. 6 players, 1 first round pick. And 12 second-round picks were also moved in the trade. In addition, Houston made a second-round pick swap with the Hawks and sent them cash considerations. And somehow the Nets, I think, netted 2 second-round picks.
Yes, I saw that.
So, I mean, you want to talk about... So, of the 4 sports, and baseball obviously doesn't have the cap, but you got the luxury tax. Like, if I asked you guys of the 4, so yeah, if you get the NFL salary cap, the NHL salary cap, NBA cap,
yeah,
and for baseball, the luxury tax, which one sounds like the most... foreign, like that you just
the NBA,
right?
The NBA
with the
does,
aprons
yes.
Yeah, and
yes,
the
I don't. I honestly, I read into it. I don't even understand
bird
that.
Rights. I mean, yeah, it's just these deals.
You have
are
to hire an
expert.
I mean, all the sports do, but the NBA, you need a guy that knows what the hell he's doing with this.
And then even on draft night, when guys get selected, and then they're trading them to other teams, and they're yeah, wearing the wrong hats, like
because they're not allowed.
There's got to be a
all right,
simpler
let's
way.
Check the retention here. Name 2 teams in that 7-team trade he just mentioned.
Hawks. Lakers.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Nets.
I was going to say, how about the local team that was
Golden
impressed?
State Warriors.
I figured you checked out as soon as he said NBA.
How about this? Which team did Durant go from?
Rockets.
And to what team?
He went to the Rockets.
From where?
Golden State.
Ah.
That was 10 years ago.
So he was there.
Not 10, but...
You know, as you were rattling off those names in my head, I was like, I'm going to try to remember all these.
That's impressive. No. I really thought
good
you were checked
you.
Out. That's funny.
It's a little early for him to be checked out. Give it another hour or so.
He's checked out at 5:15 on me before.
Yeah, but this is not really true. Is like a one-off standalone
correct.
Day. He hasn't done ones. How many ones did you last do? The full
last
4
summer,
hour?
Probably.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah,
we've done
2.
A few of these. Yes.
Maybe 2 of them last summer.
Okay, very good. Last thing, we talked about this on the Warm Show yesterday. Al, Tom Brady was with Dakota Johnson and Kate Hudson. Now he's added another big time name.
Really?
To his yeah,
hot chick
Sofia Vergara.
Girl with the thong yesterday we were talking about?
The girl with the thong. I mean, she's a famous...
No, but I'm saying... Yeah, I know. But
they were all in the same boat?
Well, no. He was now at some Amazon lunch bash. They were seen dining together.
Wow.
Apparently had a little bit of an intimate exchange. So there's some dating rumors.
So Dakota Hudson's how old?
Because
Sofia Vergara is 52.
Combining 2 people. Dakota Johnson
sorry.
And Kate Hudson.
All right. Yes, sorry.
Sofia Vergara is 52. I want to say
Kate Hudson's in her 40s,
she's
right?
She's in the
Dakota's Goldie Hawn's daughter, right?
Dakota's 35,
and Kate Hudson's 46.
So he's hitting the ranges
all
here.
The decades,
God.
20s, 30s,
man,
40s, 50s.
And did you see the Robert Kraft party, 4th of July party?
Who was on
the
this
guest list? Well, Elton John performed. Bon Jovi was there. Howard Stern was there. I had a whole bunch of names that I wrote down. Those are the 2 that are popping out. But it was, you want to talk about a who's who of celebrity.
Rami says Peter Schrager was on that yacht.
Come on.
I saw his
at
wife.
At the craft party?
It wouldn't shock me.
His wife posted on Instagram that he was there with Gronk.
Wow. No offense to Peter Schrager, but which name doesn't fit?
I mean, well, Peter Schrager's killing it right now.
Oh, I know that. But in context of the names you just... Like,
let me ask you this.
He's killing it in his
all right, let me ask you this.
Area.
This is a good person to ask. This is a good person to ask. So Peter Schrager's contract is up at NFL Network.
Okay.
Instead of just going in and saying, I'd like a new deal, he's courted by ESPN.
Yeah.
That's a monster deal to go to ESPN.
Yeah.
Boomer's out of the equation. He's a former NFL athlete. Tiki Barber's out of the equation. Former NFL athlete. Who at this radio station, when their deal is up, is courted by another company for tons of cash?
Tons of cash.
Well, that's what happened to Peter Schrager.
Tons of cash. Mm-hmm. In this business?
In this, no, at this station.
No,
here. Say.
No, no, I know. Yeah, but I'm saying
whoever comes calling.
I know. I'm saying in this business, when I say this business, I mean
radio,
local sports talk radio.
Because we've seen this now with these guys. Even like, I think, right, wasn't it Jeff Passan that wound up at ESPN from, I don't remember where he was. Maybe SI, doesn't matter.
Yahoo, but I think.
Where, yeah, maybe. Yeah. That might have been it.
And Shams, obviously, is at ESPN now.
Right.
Woj retiring or going to do St. Bonaventure.
So, guys, I'm listening.
You know, Orlovsky's closing on a new deal with ESPN as well.
Right.
Who from this station would warrant big cash to go elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
Like before Sean Marash signs his next big deal. does...
It's serious swooping in for Sean Marash.
Yeah.
There's a good one.
I don't know.
There's a good one.
I love Tommy. We go way back. I don't know if I'm ready to say he's going to...
I'll take you off the
big
hook.
Big cash. Sal, I guess?
Okay, fine. I'll take you off the hook for that one, though. So you say Sal. Give me of the up-and-comers, who's the next big one? Are you automatically saying Loogie, or are you giving me someone else?
I would say Pat Boyle, but he's down the hall now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I guess probably Loogie, yeah.
Okay. You would agree with that?
Up-and-comer. He and I are the same age.
I would still put Sal as an up-and-comer.
Ooh, you and Loogie?
Yeah. He might be a year older than me, actually.
You're kidding.
I'm not. Yeah, in fact, he is. What am I saying? He's turning 40.
Todd Lugauer is turning 40?
Yep.
And he's an up-and-comer in the business.
I honestly thought
he was like 30.
No.
I honestly
he will lead that. Us.
Wow. 30. He's been working here forever. Was he working as an 18-year-old here?
You know what? You're right. You're right.
This is why I'm the future.
Well, yeah. The future when you're 65.
The future is now. You're 40, apparently.
That is what's weird about radio. We look at guys like Tommy, who's 40, Sal, who I don't know how old he is.
44.
Mid-40s, yeah.
And like I consider those two guys the young guys at the radius. Like, ooh, these guys up-and-comers.
Well, it's also part of it's how you carry yourself, I think.
And they both dress like they're 24.
Right. I mean, I'm not one to knock because I dress comfortable around here, as you know.
That would be a good gimmick for Tommy Lugauer. He just shows up in a power suit every day, like shirt and tie.
It would not work.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't hold your breath. And he'd be around Marash and Evan.
Always with the hat.
Hey, the first thing, who died? Like, what funeral? He does not wear suits.
If he started aligning his dress with Tiki Barber, who wears, like, bougie sweaters in the winter, you know what I mean? A scarf.
Tiki also is, I think, what is he, 48? Does that sound right? 49? I think he's around my age, I'm pretty sure. He also looks like he's busted out of his shirt because he's in such great shape still.
What's weird is when I see Tiki Barber in the hallway, he's got a V-shaped, the classic V-shape, very muscular up top.
Muscular.
Thin waist, thick thighs. I often think, like, if he came running right at me and I went low, could I tackle him?
Yes. You might break your shoulder. Yeah,
Wait a sec.
How many times have you seen a very slight defensive back tackle a bruising fullback?
They know technique. I'm saying timing.
Yeah, but even if you just dropped and rolled, if you clipped his legs out, he would go down, of course.
But if he's running, he might hurdle
me. Now, I would tell you.
He'd hurdle me.
Don't try and shoulder him in his chest.
Oh, no.
He might break you.
Like, who would you like to, you know, in pro wrestling, sometimes they'll do a move where they throw a guy off the ropes and it's just a shoulder block and you knock him
right
down. Do you think there's anyone here I could shoulder block and win?
Anyone here that you could shoulder block? Well, Tommy's light.
That would involve you first tossing them into the ropes, though.
Well, they'd have to go along with that.
There you go.
Tommy seems solid, though, for
his size. He is, but he's light. He's
pretty thin.
He's very thin.
Yeah.
JJ back in the day?
Half. Oh, God, yeah.
JJ's frail.
Yeah.
That thing's not healthy.
Maggie, you might have a shot against Maggie.
Against Maggie, sure.
Other than that, I don't know that there's many.
So Maggie, maybe Tommy.
Yeah.
Definitely not Tiki.
Maybe Evan.
Evan? That's a good one.
Maybe Evan. Hey. Evan's bigger than you think, though.
You're right. He's got more girth to him.
Yes, and he's taller than you think.
You just reminded me. You guys brought up the Marash time difference thing. I'll bring you that audio so we can delve into that. By the way, you said Lou Gehrig doesn't wear suits. He doesn't here. I've been out with him.
Weddings.
Like, Vegas, Atlantic City. He cleans up very... He's actually very particular about his outfits for like a fancy.
So then maybe
event.
Al's got something. Maybe start showing up to work in these.
I don't know if he'll do that, but he could. If he had to, he could definitely pull it off.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. We will see you next hour, Chris. Thank you very much. Quarter to eight. It is Alan Jerry in for Boomer and Geo coming up next. And then throughout the course of the morning, we got the Knicks. We will get to more on the baseball. Al's trip to Montana as well. We'll sprinkle in your calls 888-808-1019 on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Hi, it's 10 in front of 8. It is nice to have you with us. It is Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. They will be back next week. Ironically enough, next week, Boomer and Geo will be back. Al will be gone as he starts what we call the on-again, off-again summer of Al, as he will take like every other week off, which sounds really awesome, by the way. I do like that.
Best way to do it, Jerry. You got to save up your vacations and concentrate them in one little area.
Yeah, that hasn't gone so good for me, but I do understand what you do. And so you have chosen Bozeman, Montana. And we've talked about this, the idea of how you found Bozeman and why you're going there.
I did everything through Grok, the AI that's connected to Twitter X. I just kind of put in parameters, like, here's kind of what I want to do. And it really worked. I got to tell you, like, for people who have not tried using AI in any way, this is a very basic way to do it, trying to figure things out.
Yeah,
I was just putting like, hey, I want to go somewhere where it's not super humid, where it's not going to be packed with people, where, you know, I just put in these different things. I need a place where I can get a direct flight from Newark Airport.
Did it give you options, or did it just come up with this is the place?
No, it gave me a couple of things, and then as I was a couple of different places, and then as I was adding parameters in there, like it gave me a bunch of places, and then I was like, I would need a direct flight from Newark, and that knocked a lot of things off.
Mm.
So I got to that, and then yesterday, you were in here with Willie Colon. You guys were making me panic a little bit that I had no real game plan once I got out there.
Well, to be clear, it's not so much game plan, because I agree with you. There are some people that like to lay the trip out from being picked up at their house to landing at the resort, and then every hour they know what they're doing. I don't like that. I understand why you would do it. I don't love that. But on the flip side, I also don't like booking a trip and then getting there and saying, all right, now what do we do? To me, there's a happy medium in there.
Yeah, it's a happy medium. So then I also was asking this Grok AI yesterday, what are the places to do? Well, and then it even gave you, like, they say, oh, you should go fly fishing. Here are three good companies in your area that you can do that with. Or here, what are the go-to restaurants, you know? And I used it for that way. I have no idea where it's pulling all this information from.
The internet.
Because it's funny, even the fly fishing place, when I talked to the guy, and he's like, oh, I know it's very competitive out there. There's many different fly. It'd be like if you had a jet ski rental at the Jersey Shore. It's like a million of them.
Yep.
So the guy, oh, how did you find out about us? Grok?
Did he know what that was?
No.
I didn't think so.
I said, oh, it's an AI. The AI robots sent me to you. Yeah, so, I like to use it. I'm sure I could have just Googled these things, but I feel like with Google, you're still weeding through a lot of crap.
You know what you're weeding through a lot now with Google are the ads that come up as the top choices.
Yes, not interested in that. You're right. But are these eventually, this is what I mean, like I feel like they're going to eventually ruin the AI also. Because right now, if you will need to search for something like what you used to use Google for, if you put that into AI, you're getting better results. But at some point, they're going to ruin that, too, and it's going to be, like, ad-based results for that. You know what I mean? Companies will pay to be the first one that ChatGPT or Grok gives you. You know, and I hate that. They're going to ruin that, too.
I will.
But use it while you can.
Yeah. Here is Jack in Milford. What's up, Jack?
So, I've been out to Montana about a dozen times. My grandparents live out there. And, Al, unfortunately, you're going to run into a lot more people than you think.
What?
It's a pretty popular time of the year to go out there.
See, Grok did me wrong.
A lot of, especially with, like, schools being out and stuff, you'll see a lot of people there going to Yellowstone, and it's pretty packed. And there's actually, like, a ton of celebrities that live out that way.
Really? You don't say.
Yeah, like, John Mayer owns, like, I think he's, like, the second or third property owner in the whole state. I think Ted Turner's number one.
Ted Turner, last time
I went out there, it was right after the match that was like Aaron Rodgers and somebody else. They played one of the golf masters out there at Moonlight Basin. And of course, I wanted to go see the course. It's like impossible to get close to. It's all super private and stuff. But my grandfather drove me out there, and you go up a mountain, and we're driving up, and I noticed, like, there's no driveways in any of these houses. So I asked my grandpa, I'm like, "What? How the hell do they get up here?" And he's like, "Oh, you'll see. You go down the backside of the mountain, and there's, like, a private heliport where all these, like, big-time celebrities park their cars, and they get basically just go straight up the mountain on a helicopter."
Did you know? Did you realize you were going to the Hollywood of Montana?
No. Well, that's I know David Letterman has a place out there.
Okay.
And Tom Brokaw, Lily Homer. Tom Brokaw will be out there too. I'll probably be seeing him.
The one thing about, I understand you don't want to have a lot of people around. I do. I understand that. But there's also something to be said for atmosphere. And if you're in a place that's popular, not overcrowded, but very popular, to me that lends itself to a good place to go, I would think.
Eddie told me I'll love it out there because there's Republicans.
Okay, for whatever that's
although
worth.
My guess is,
how are
like,
you going to know? You're going to talk to anybody.
Wasn't that part of your Grok parameters?
It may have. it may have been.
What city will I see Trump flags?
Although the cities themselves tend to be, even in like a red state.
Especially a college, that is a college town.
Yeah, the college towns tend to be like, people always talk about Texas. Or right. Texas is right. You go to Austin, it is very liberal.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I've never been to Austin.
Generally around colleges, universities.
Yeah, these colleges, Jerry. Don't send your kids there.
Where people can think and read and stuff.
Bill in Tuckahoe, what's up, Bill?
Yeah, I literally just flew back from Bozeman and Big Sky yesterday. Al, you're going to love it. It is. The town is like the size of a nickel. There is nothing going on there. I mean, there are people, but not a ton of people.
But when you say there's, Bill, when you say there's nothing going on there, we've had people call up with all these different ideas. Do you just mean like it's a small town with some bars and restaurants and that's it? And you got to drive to go to anything else?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you can go hiking, you can go fishing, you can do whitewater rafting. I mean, the houses are all spread out. Literally, the town, my wife and I were like, where's the town? They were like, this is the town.
It sounds kind of nice, to be quite honest.
It is.
So thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. It sounds lovely. You know what it sounds like to me in a weird way? And I've been there a couple of times. Like Lincoln, Nebraska, people say, oh, Nebraska. It is beautiful out there. The town is small. There's some bars, some restaurants. The houses are nice. And it's a college town. And that's pretty much, I think, where they probably make all their money. But it's really nice out there, though.
Yeah, see, these are the things I was talking to my good friend Grok about. Not Gronk, the football player. Grok,
but
the
Grok.
AI. Yeah.
Just what do you remember, one or two other choices that it was going to send you to?
Yeah, there was a couple other good choices until I needed the direct flight from Newark. Okay. One was Flagstaff, Arizona.
Okay.
That's not that warm, huh?
Well, is it elevation?
It's elevation, yeah.
Okay.
So that was supposedly very nice. And then they wanted to send me to the place in North Carolina, which I did want to visit, but that was the place that was devastated by the hurricanes still not like ready for an influx of tourists.
Understood.
Yeah.
So Montana it is.
So Montana, here I come.
I actually think you're going to, believe it or not, I think you're going to love it.
I might not come back.
Not come back? That seems a bit extreme for you. That you want to talk about making a life decision on the spot? You are not capable of that. You're still regretting getting the dog 5 years later.
I might go do sports talk in Montana.
What do you think that's like?
There's only so
much Montana sports you can talk.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So it's got to do
a lot of sports adjacent, I bet.
Maybe, or a lot of Cowboys, Lakers, Yankees, and then during football season, Montana football.
Oh, so they do like the most popular teams of each sport.
I bet you know what might be popular? High school sports.
Believe it or not.
And well, because in a small city like that, that could be a big deal.
Yeah, they say Texas, they love high school football.
Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights, Jerry.
That's exactly right. That would be kind of cool to see one day.
Not a Friday Night Light.
Will, but yeah, like we're because in Jersey, while high school football is somewhat popular, out there it's enormous. They're like sold out stadiums.
Yeah, I know when I was living in Indiana going to school out there, high school basketball was huge. Be on the news every night.
Yeah, and not just Indiana. A lot of other places in middle America, I would think. We'll come right back. We'll take a break. We got an Odyssey Sports Minute for you in a moment. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the Knicks, some other things as well, back to the baseball. We started with football because we are 8 weeks away from the NFL season. It's Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.